Hello and welcome to a very special edition of Comics Reviews. This week I'm bringing you my brief reaction to the movie that everybody's talking about, which is Marvel's Avengers Infinity War, which is a spectacular culmination of the last 10 years of Marvel's cinematic universe. I'm going to try not to do any spoilers. The one spoiler I will tell you, which I guess, you know, we saw coming because I think at one point this was announced as a two-parter, which, you know, it's going to pick up where it left off in a Spellbinding fashion about a year from now, which it should be April or May of next year, which is 2019. So, like I said, I took in a matinee on Friday, and I gotta say, you know, even then, you know, the buzz was good. I got there, and it was pretty filled up for a Friday afternoon. Now, granted, Friday's a day a lot of people like to take off. You know, nice weather's approaching us. You know, people might be, you know, taking kids out of school a little early, you know, just to get to the theater, you know, $7 instead of $10 where I am. I know that's why I just waited till Friday to see it as opposed to Thursday night because of crowds and because I'm a little bit cheap. So I figured, you know, I'm taking the matinee. But, you know, getting back to the review, I'm going to, as I mentioned 5 seconds earlier, I'm going to plainly state the movie does end on a cliffhanger, which was expected. So this, along with Homeland, which I just finished up last night and ended up on Sunday. So, the, you know, both of these things that they have in common is they're just like making me kind of depressed that I have to wait a year to find out the conclusion to these, you know, these different properties. I'm going to say about Infinity War, there were some truly great performances in the movie. The ones that stuck out the most to me were by Robert Downey Jr., which he seems to steal the show in everything he does, so that was somewhat expected. And I would have to say Josh Brolin, as he played the main villain Thanos, which I guess was to be assumed that he would be the star of the show, and he definitely was. There was a lot of emotional weight to the character, which, you know, I wasn't expecting. Probably, you know, we'll pick up with this, you know, there'll be a whole spoiler review coming soon with Rob and everything, you know, because it's not really comics reviews without Rob. But, you know, he just moved back, so he's got a lot of stuff to untangle. So I just wanted to, you know, get this brief thing out there, you know, just, you know, to let you guys know we haven't forgot about this, you know, podcast. But once again, getting back into it, you know, Thanos, you know, was, as expected, Infinity War. So if you're familiar with the comic at all, Infinity Gauntlet, Infinity War. So those are a couple of titles with that Infinity in them. So, you know, Rob, I believe, has read these books. I haven't read them. You know, I'm a fan of Marvel Comics, but that's just one of the ones I have not read. But now I'm, you know, interested to check out, you know, the book from the movie. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. It's making me want to go back and, you know, revisit that material. Or visit, in my case, because, you know, I've never read it before. Yeah, as I was saying, you know, Thanos in the movie was not portrayed as the typical mustache twirling, you know, I want to see bad things happen just for the hell of it. I want to create destruction. So, you know, this, I'm going to just compare it to Dark Knight a little bit, because that's one thing I was thinking. It was like the polar opposite of, let's say, another, you know, very much acclaimed movie in, you know, comic book history, which is The Dark Knight, which, you know, which is weird to think that that came out 10 years ago, and that kind of upped the bar for, you know, which all other comic book movies were judged by. So just drawing a comparison for that, you know, 10 years ago, it's almost like Thanos was like the opposite of the Joker, whereas the Joker was just doing things to create chaos and anarchy, and this was not that at all. You know, maybe because I'm not really sure how Thanos is portrayed in the comics, because once again, I have not read any Thanos-related comics aside from, like, one, you know, something on Marvel Unlimited that, you know, that came out a couple years ago, and then I just, you know, recently, you know, read, and he was in that. So I'm sure Rob will be able to, you know, fill in the gaps more on that when we do a full podcast. So yeah, you know, there was some, not getting too spoilery into it, but as we know from previous movies, this isn't a spoiler, I guess, unless you haven't been watching Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, especially the first one, there was an emphasis on Nebula and Gamora are both adopted daughters of Thanos, which there was some parts in the movie that really had emotional weight to them with Thanos, you know, involving certain stones and certain things he would have to do. But, you know, I guess we'll get into that more at another time. But I will say Thanos, yeah, Josh Brolin, not to confuse with his father, James Brolin, which, you know, it's easy to, you know, jumble them up. But, yes, he did a great job, and I would say, once again, I would say Marvel is raising the bar, because one thing I did notice about this movie is that, as many people have pointed out, it is more of a somber movie. It's not the usual. I don't want to reduce Marvel Studios to, like, oh, they make fluff or anything of that nature, because I don't think they do. I think they have a good idea of, let's take the source material, and there's gonna be jokes, and there's gonna be moments of destruction, so there are a seriousness, there are serious elements to these movies, and, you know, you don't want to reduce them to, oh, they're just, you know, popcorn movies or whatever, or they're not dark or whatever, you know, not saying one is good or bad, but I think there's a spectrum, you know, to Marvel. It's not just one thing, but I just think it furthers it. And also, I guess for critics of people over the years who've been saying that Marvel Studios has this fill-in problem, I would say, well, you know, I guess, in my opinion, probably the best villain since we've had Loki in the Thor movies, although, you know, I guess part of that, too, is, you know, Loki has evolved over the years where it's like, is he even really a villain? He's definitely out for himself, but, you know, if you're just talking about straight-up villains in the cinematic universe, you know, a lot of people complain about, you know, the lack of, you know, there's no Joker or something like that in this universe, but, like, Thanos, he was the guy. He was big and brash, and, you know, there was a level of danger to him, but there was this sadness, or like this, like he wishes, in a way, going back to the comics, you know, I thought of a character, Ra's or Ra's al Ghul, however you want to pronounce it, and I'm just thinking of, like, a lot of the plot of Thanos, or, you know, his whole thing is he wants to wipe out half the world, you know, or universe, because he thinks it's gonna, you know, be better for everybody, which is kind of like, you get into these things like, you know, Ra's al Ghul storylines, where it's like, he's like, more of like an eco-terrorist, where he's definitely not a good guy. He's not a hero like Superman or whatever, you know, a character like that, or a Captain America would just be like, well, we don't want to, you know, that's not what a hero is. You know, those guys are heroes. Those guys will do anything. They want to save people, which, you know, Thanos is not that guy. He thinks that, I've heard it, you know, used in different reviews I've seen of this movie, where it's basically, he's like, Thanos is really, in his book, he's the superhero, which is an interesting concept. I've spoken a lot about Thanos. I guess, you know, I don't want to take up too much time, but I will say this too, what was really cool, just getting into some of the other characters, is that this movie didn't seem jumbled up. That was one of the things I was concerned about. I was like, there's so many characters in this universe. You got Spider-Man, Thor, Hulk, Captain America, Black Panther, Winter Soldier, Vision, Scarlet Witch. It's like, how are you going to make this cohesive story with all these characters running around? But pretty smart how they, you know, broke it up. They basically broke it up into teams working on their own little projects with the, you know, ultimate end goal of, you know, trying to thwart Thanos. But it was just really cool to see the teams working together. Had one team which was really interesting, Tony Stark meeting Doctor Strange and Spider-Man was tagging along there. So that was one team. Another team was Thor and Rocket Raccoon and Groot, which is that was there's pretty there's some pretty funny moments there. And then you had another team that was Black Widow, Captain America, Black Panther. They went down to Wakanda, and you see that Bucky was still there. Vision and Scarlet Witch had their team of their own, which I guess at this point we could say they're like a couple, so it's kind of mimicking the comics. So you had four different teams. They split up the characters to avoid clutter, and I'd say the screen time for all the characters was it was pretty well balanced, which that's another credit to the Russo brothers, just finding a way how to get all these characters and all these different plot line, backgrounds together to, just, it made all made sense. Getting kind of wordy here, but with without giving too much away, I guess without spoiling anything, some of the creative decisions, which I guess it's part of, just being a comic book movie, I wasn't that thrilled about. I guess, well, I guess there was only one way it had to end on a cliffhanger, but I guess maybe it's not so much the cliffhanger that bothered me, but the fact that we gotta wait a whole year, whereas, it's April now, so it's like, May or whenever it's gonna be of next year, it seems like a very far time away at this point, whereas, maybe it would have been better if they had part two or whatever they're calling it. Rumor has it that it's being called Endgame. So if they would have put that in fall, I think that would have appeased people like me, where it's like, you gotta wait a whole another year. But then again, it is just 1 year, and a lot of times with these Avengers movies, you're waiting like several years between, which was the case between Age of Ultron and the first Avengers. I think it was like from there was a gap from 2012 to 2015, which I guess is a different context though, as this movie is more about a big moment, a the Infinity War in the Marvel Universe. So it would seem that if they're going to, there's too much to get covered in one movie, so they'd really have to split it up. Yeah, well, once again, this isn't the real podcast. This is trying to do this is kind of difficult without, giving away too much. I don't want to talk about who died in the movie because that's kind of a it's kind of a gray area. Because I'm not I will say this. There were characters in the movie without naming names that it seems like okay, I could legitimately seeing people seeing the movie and thinking, oh, well, that sucks, They're not gonna, how are we gonna do another Guardians of the Galaxy without this character or something like that? Still not giving away the name of the character. But then there's moments at the end where, as it's been said before, a lot of the characters, I mean, spoiler alert, kind of, Thanos snaps his fingers and certain people in the universe seem to disappear, but I mean, I guess for a person like me, the only problem I have with that is, there is a thing that reverses time, a MacGuffin, a time stone, so you know that it's probably just going to be reversed. So you could make the argument that, well, maybe it doesn't have the weight it should have because you know that a lot of these characters are coming back, but I guess we'll just have to wait to see how they go about doing it. I guess that's the that's the fun part of the fun is speculating and seeing what's going to happen next. So yeah, I guess overall, without making this too long, I didn't even think that this like little recap would even be this long, but I would say overall, like probably most of the universe, and I really enjoyed this movie. It's hard to rank things when you just have seen something new, and this goes with reading something or watching a television show or movie. There's always this this newness attached to something, this excitement. So I'm tempted. Part of me is tempted to say this is the best Marvel's movie that's been done. I know some people say, oh, well, you know, it's probably the most ambitious. This is the greatest comic book movie ever done. And I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I did really enjoy this movie, and maybe I'm a little biased, you know, because, you know, the Batman movies, the Nolan movies, I would say it's very hard to top The Dark Knight, but my overall impressions is this is probably, I don't know if I'd put it at the top of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. If we're just going purely by Marvel Cinematic Universe, I would say that this is definitely at the top. I don't know if it's my favorite or if I would rank it the best. You know, best and favorite are two different things altogether, you know, because I could have thought prior to this movie that probably the best movie that Marvel has done is, maybe the best movie they've done is Captain America Winter Soldier. I just might think that that's the most complete, the most balanced, the most Dark Knight-esque of the Marvel movies. But I would probably say that the original Avengers is probably my favorite of them, just seeing all the characters together. And, you know, even though that's been some time, it's, you know, 2012 is when the first Avengers came out, I still have that same feeling watching it now, which is kind of similar to Winter Soldier, but yeah, there's always this temptation when something comes out, like, oh, it's the best one, and, you know, I think I'm gonna let it breathe for a little while, dissect it, you know, I'll probably see how it goes in repeat viewings, but I would say overall, I think the cast was fantastic. There were some characters that were noticeably missing, like Hawkeye and Ant-Man, which, you know, luckily there's a new movie coming out. Ironically, the trailer got released today, Ant-Man and the Wasp, so the trailer is pretty cool and funny. And it's coming out in July 9th, I believe. So it gives us some time, you know, to, you know, get back into that universe without focusing too much on the whole, you know, greater connected universe that Marvel's been doing. So it'll help, pretty much, I'm saying, for my own good, it will help me forget about Infinity War for a little while. This will give me something to take my mind off of that. Other than that, I would say, you know, I would definitely recommend seeing the movie. I'm going to be seeing it again tonight. So it seems like Marvel has done it again, and they're just going to continue to roll with these movies, and I guess that's good for everyone. So we'll continue to see great comic book movies from Marvel for years to come, it seems. So once again, this is Dave, and I am without Rob, but that's probably going to change soon, because, you know, once everything is settled, we'll be doing another podcast, a proper podcast with spoilers on all sorts of stuff. So that will be all good. All right, so I hope everybody has nice weather, and see you soon.